highest scored developer tool story today, 274 points and 55 comments, is Rust Glancer, a new Rust language server that the author claims uses 100 times less RAM than Rust Analyzer, the current standard. The author is Alexey Kladov, known in the Rust community as MatKlad, who also happens to be one of the original architects of Rust Analyzer. So this isn't a newcomer taking a shot at an established tool. It's the person who built the established tool explaining why a different architectural approach is worth exploring.
That credentialing matters enormously for how the HN community receives this kind of announcement. The comment thread reflects genuine technical engagement rather than skepticism, people drilling into the architectural choices, asking about specific trade-offs, discussing where a 100 times lighter language server would actually change what's possible.
The core insight behind Rust Glancer is that a language server doesn't need to maintain a full semantic model of your entire codebase to provide useful feedback in most editing interactions. Rust Analyzer builds and maintains an extraordinarily complete picture. That's what makes it powerful. But that completeness has a memory cost that's become significant on large codebases and on resource-constrained developer machines. Glancer's bet is that a lighter, faster, more selective approach can cover 80 or 90% of the use cases that actually matter in daily editing.
That there's no reason for software to be slow anymore, essay by Dan Liu, is the philosophical context for this story. It's gotten 448 upvotes and 316 comments, which is substantial engagement for what's essentially a performance engineering manifesto. Liu's argument is that the hardware available to developers today, even mid-range laptops, is so fast relative to what most software actually demands that perceived slowness is almost always an architectural or incentive failure rather than a fundamental constraint.
Liu is one of the most credible voices on this topic because his previous essays on latency and software performance are grounded in actual measurements rather than intuition. The HN thread on this one is predictably rich. People sharing specific examples of software that felt sluggish and turned out to have obvious optimization paths, and other people pushing back on the idea that performance is always worth optimizing for if other qualities, correctness, maintainability, developer velocity, are being traded against it.
The OpenTelemetry piece, OTel isn't going well, sits right in this zone. OpenTelemetry is the open standard for distributed tracing metrics and logging in modern cloud infrastructure. The author built a spreadsheet documenting specific failure modes in their OTel deployment, and the framing is deliberately understated. This isn't a hot take, it's a documented analysis. The story has generated 55 comments from people who have clearly been sitting on similar frustrations.
The core complaint in the OTel piece is that the standard is now comprehensive enough to be genuinely complex, and the tooling ecosystem hasn't kept pace with the complexity. You end up with a distributed tracing system that is itself the kind of sprawling, hard-to-debug infrastructure that distributed tracing was supposed to make easier to understand. There's an irony there that the HN community has not missed.
The Stop Making TUIs essay has been provoking interesting arguments in its 232-comment thread. TUI stands for Terminal User Interface. Think tools like HTOP, NCDU, or Ranger, software that renders a full graphical-ish interface inside a terminal using text characters. The author's argument is that TUIs optimize for a narrow set of users, carry significant implementation complexity, and often produce interfaces that are neither as capable as a proper GUI nor as scriptable as a pure command line tool.
The pushback in the comments is fierce and well-reasoned. Developers who live in terminals argue that the portability of a TUI, the fact that it runs over SSH with no dependencies, on headless servers, in environments where a GUI is unavailable, is precisely the point. The debate is ultimately about which user you're designing for and what environment you're assuming. And those assumptions reveal a lot about where someone actually works.
The ESP32 Docker sandboxes story is more niche, but genuinely useful for anyone doing embedded development. The approach documented their uses Docker to create reproducible firmware build environments for the ESP32 chip family, meaning you get deterministic, isolated builds without contaminating your host system, and a new team member can replicate your exact build environment in minutes. It's applying a philosophy that's been standard in web development for years to the embedded firmware world, where environment inconsistency has historically been a source of real pain.
And the Autolith programming agent with a live runtime is worth a mention. It's an agentic coding system that maintains a live connection to a running process rather than operating purely on static code, meaning the agent can observe runtime behavior, not just read source files. That's architecturally more ambitious than most coding agents, which reason about code the way a human reads a book rather than the way a human watches a program run.